I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roaming Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, romanoz.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we start off in Gilgandra at the Gilgandra Museum, and I've organised an interview with you and Max.
That's correct.
And then straight after that?
We're both going to be chatting about Burke and the Darling River.
Yes, it's a great mighty river, the Darling in Burke. And then straight after that...
You're going to be chatting to Beth and Charlie at the Eungerry Campground.
Eungerry Campground, and they are going to be discussing their Option RV. Fabulous caravan. Great couple. And then straight after that...
You're going to be chatting to Ken Wilson from Truck Caravan Safety Program.
That's right. And we're talking about the 3-2-1 green stickers you see on the highways, folks. Okay?
More on the country roads.
More on the country roads. And definitely a good thing to listen to that one if you're not familiar with them or what they're there for. Mm. Now, apart from this fabulous interviews that we've got arranged for you, we've also got a great selection of music.
As requested by the people we interview.
So, Lynn, what do you think?
On with the show.
Hello, listeners. Phil C here with Lynn, and we're at Gilgandra, and we are at the
Gilgandra
Museum. All right.
Okay, and I'm with Max. How are you today, Max?
I'm not too bad, thank you.
Thank you so much for taking the time. So, can you tell us a little bit about the Gilgandra Museum?
The Gilgandra Museum originally started quite a long time ago, but then it came into this building here, or that building there, in 1996, and it was opened, and it's been extended three times to fit things in.
Yes.
And there's many more things that could come in that relate to the Gilgandra area that aren't in there. Probably with a little bit of reorganisation we can add more to it, but it's certainly a very interesting museum. The cross section, we've got very rare tractors in there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a printing press from down the street here, the old lead, I forget what you call it, but anyway, everything was made with lead before they printed.
Right.
There's an old telephone exchange with the cords on it, where when you rang in you put the cord in.
Yes.
There's many telephones. It's great to get children in here because they, how do you operate that phone?
Exactly. And how do I get YouTube on that?
Yeah, exactly. It's a wonderful education. Then to see the buggies and the horses, there's actually solid horses being bought to put in front of the buggies. There's another one in a sloping thing that the horse walks all the time, and that drives the cleaning machine to clean wheat.
Oh, okay.
Grains. This, look, it just goes on and on what you can see here.
A lot of things that, children now would not know about, like, as you said, the telephones. And I did hear that there was an old cooktop in there, a wood-fired stove and everything else. So
there is.
Yes.
The old chip heaters for heating the water before to put in the bathtub.
Yeah. No, that, yes.
They're here and they're set up in the room just down the side there. And it's set up as a little... hospital there. There's actually an old birthing bed in there from the days, and a lot of the tools and equipment that the doctors used in the earlier days.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go around a little bit further and there's a school that's been brought in from out near Turrawina, built many, many years ago. It's got the old long desks in there and the
inkwells
where you put pens on the front of it.
I remember those desks from, that's going back a little bit.
My very word it is. When you go on a... Sorry.
No, you're right. Keep going, Max.
Go on a little bit further and, we had a dairy here owned by the Hargraves brothers, and a lot of their equipment is there, supplied Gilgandra with all the milk and so forth, and then there's many old machines, and then you come around into the main museum that we've been talking about.
Right. And I noticed out the front you've got windmills as well that are powering...
The kangaroo and Ned Kelly.
Yes, that's very clever.
Very clever. Who thought of that, Max?
It's a chap that lived out at Turrawina, and in fact he even built the observatory that's down here. Very clever farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my dad did a lot of work here together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They just suited each other, and they certainly did a lot of work here. But that Howard Rotary Hoe out there.
Yeah.
My great uncle was the man that first built the first one.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Cliff Howard.
Oh, okay.
My mother was a Howard, and her father's brother was Cliff Howard.
So you've been in this area for quite a while then, obviously.
The longest I've been away from Gilgandra is 6 weeks.
Really?
So you were born in Gilgandra, mate?
Yes.
And lived here all your life with the exception of 6 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, okay. And also, too, I noticed that you've got a couple of posters with regards to the Kooee March, which Gilgandra's famous for.
Exactly.
Back in 1915, I think it was, where 35 soldiers
finished
started.
Up in Sydney. 26 left here.
Yeah,
but
26.
Then they kept joining them as they went down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of them went to the ball the night before they left, and they thought, oh, we're going to join this. So they went home, got their gear, and caught up with them. Out along the road somewhere.
Oh, right.
And once again, Cliff Howard's and my grandfather's brother was finished up marching with them in Sydney.
Oh, right, okay.
Yes. That what you're pointing out there now is that they were raising money to build a hospital here in Gilgandra.
Right.
And they, if you wrote on there, put your name on there, it cost you sixpence.
Oh, right. Okay.
In other words, 5 cents these days.
Yeah.
And then a lady crocheted the whole lot. Do you call it crochet?
Oh.
Anyway, she stitched the whole lot.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, embroidery.
Embroidered, that's the word.
So it's an embroidered, I guess it's a sheet or a blanket, isn't it?
It's a sheet.
It's the size of a bed sheet.
Yes.
Wow.
And if you could only get all the names, you'd know how many sixpences they raised. But
wow.
That
was a minimum.
That's
and then
impressive.
Next to that, you can see the Lloyd Middleton thing there. He went to school in Gilgandra here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And not long. But, you know, we've had quite a few people go to war from here.
Yes.
And, you know, away from here, there's a lot of other things that you can visit in Gilgandra.
There is, right, okay.
What would you suggest, Max?
Yes.
Well, for our listeners.
It's regarded as the town of windmills.
Yes.
And we're known for the windmills, and you understand a windmill is designed to bring up the sub-artesian water.
Correct, yes.
So before a town water system was here, we had, they drew either rainwater tank or bore water.
Right.
And then down along the road there, well, it's actually the windmill walk goes from the Kooee Heritage Centre right down to the main street along the riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
We did notice that.
Okay. And then we've got the Cactus World.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking about down along this road. That's the biggest collection of cacti in, I think, the Southern Hemisphere.
Oh, wow.
Okay. He exports cactuses all over the world.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then you go down further and the observatory, unfortunately, we're talking about the chap that worked up here, he built that.
Right.
But it's not open anymore.
No.
Hopefully someday someone will come along
and open it.
And then you've got the main street. There's lots of other things to see in Gilgandra, the sites of the old sawmill. We had three sawmills once upon a time. A flour mill, which closed down and then burnt in the later years. And let me think, out on a road, we've got what's called a corduroy road.
Right.
Do you understand a corduroy road?
No.
Well, not at all.
It travels from the village Kirbin west. And in the days of the Cobb and Co. coaches on the black soil plains,
right,
when it got wet, the coaches would bog.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So they cut and laid white cypress trees side by side for miles.
Oh, okay. So that the coach could go across.
So the coach wouldn't bog.
Oh, wow.
And used only in the wet time, of course, because it was quite rough. But it got through.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, another experience we had, we've got the opposite, just up here where the grain receivable businesses are. We had a corduroy road there because it was raw sand and the wagons loaded with goods would bog in the raw sands. We went to the opposite.
Uh-huh.
Because it was too dry.
Yes.
Yep.
You laid a corduroy road there.
Oh. So that's probably where the name for corduroy fabric came from, is it?
Could have been. Could have very easily been.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know the answer. We've got what's called the Berrida Woolshed.
Yes.
That you can ring up and make an appointment, go out and see the old shed. Very old.
Mm-hmm.
There are photos of it here somewhere. I just can't see one quickly.
Mm.
But Gilgandra's is an old area, although we're not the first town settled on the Castlereagh River, Mandurran was.
Okay.
Oh, right.
And then even this little village I talked about, Kirban, was settled before Gilgandra.
Mm. Okay.
But then we're known for mixed farming.
Yes.
You know, grains,
yep.
Sheep, cattle.
Cattle, yeah.
Goats are coming in now.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep.
And I don't know. There's a lot of other things okay. You can see.
So if someone was to come to the museum, how long would they need to take?
Well, some people go through in 15 minutes. Yep. Other people go through in 3 hours. It depends how you want to study, because a lot of the things have a little...
story to them
that you mm-hmm. can go and stand there and read.
Yep.
Okay.
And very interesting
to
read all that, and you'll see the names of the people in the Gilgandra area, and as far as Walgett, that sort of thing, that they've donated things to the museum so that people can see them.
All right, well, that sounds very fascinating, Max. Thank you so much for taking the time to tell us all about the museum. Now, we're going to play an Aussie song for you. Who would you like us to play?
Oh, let's have the Seekers.
Yes.
And the Carnival is Over.
Okay, I'm sure Phil will have that.
Absolutely, Len. I can do that. The Seekers, the Carnival is Over. Max, thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been really great for us to be here. And I hope lots of listeners come through. When they come in through the area, they pop in and see you.
Yes, well, we do too. It's a very interesting town.
Yes.
We're known as a friendly town.
Yes.
So, been a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, there are several free camps in Gilgandra, aren't there, for overnight stay?
Yes.
Yes, well, the council will actually be developing one between the museum here and the Kiwi Heritage Centre.
Okay,
there'll be 10 sites there.
Very
fantastic.
They're... You know, no services provided.
No.
Okay.
But this free camp is just across the road at the
Sporties
or the bowling club there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there's another one up at the Railway Hotel.
Yes.
And down the main street, the Royal Hotel. There's a small area there where people can free camp.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to be a very RV
friendly
town.
Well, I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Because you'll get more people here.
I've got a... my wife and I have a caravan, and we headed out last year for a 10-week trip that lasted 5 days.
Know the feeling.
We got to the South Australian border, and that was it.
Happened to us.
Okay, then.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks.
Now, stick around, listeners, for more of Roman Oz straight after the carnival is over.
Charles C. and Lynn here, Rome and Oz, and we're in Bourke, standing on the banks of the mighty Darling River. Now, in the late 1890s, Bourke was a major inland port for wool. At its peak, the Bourke Wharf had three steam-driven cranes handling 40,000 bales of wool a year. This was shipped down the Darling to ports in South Australia and Victoria, then sent by rail to Adelaide and Melbourne for local textiles and export. Following the advent of irrigation on farms in the 1880s, cotton, citrus fruits and wheat were shipped by paddle steamers. The paddle steamers were used massive amounts of timber sourced from the riverbank to fuel boilers for power, causing a long-term reduction in habitat for animals and riverbank stability. They were also responsible for large-scale removal of fallen trees and snags from the river to improve river navigation. The Barwon-Darling River belongs to a complex system and highly variable flows. Many rivers within the Western catchment originate outside the catchment boundary, and flows are affected by actions upstream. Droughts may be followed by heavy rains, which fill thousands of small creeks feeding into the river, flooding the wheatlands and lakes, flowing across the wood plains, creating new watercourses and reaching widely dispersed billabongs and waterholes. Water supports and attracts life. It provides habitat for plants and animals, biodiversity, and supports commerce through industry, irrigation and domestic use.
In 1896, the government started an experimental farm at Perivale, just north of Bourke, growing everything from stone fruits to cotton. Citrus from Perivale was reportedly requested by Queen Victoria. Citrus plantings feature in the current irrigated landscape along with cotton, wheat, melons, grapes and jojoba. These industries form a significant contributor to the local economy. However, as the Darling is an unregulated river without a headwaters dam to regulate flow, water supply is far from guaranteed.
The Darling River system covers over 1 million square kilometres, 14% of Australia, flowing south from the Colgoa and Barwon River junction. From its source in Queensland to its mouth southeast of Adelaide, it is 3,037 kilometres long. The river was an integral part of the lives of the many Aboriginal people who lived along it and continues to hold great significance to Aboriginal people of today.
Quick facts about the Darling River. Varies from scattered waterholes to 80 kilometres wide when in flood. Captain Charles Sturt named it after New South Wales Governor Ralph Darling in 1829. Important to Australia's European heritage as a vital transport route for settlement and pastoral development, paddle steamers brought supplies to towns and stations and transported wool onto major ports. River ports established included Walgett, Brewarrina, Bourke, Louth, Tilpa, Wilcannia, Menindi, Pooncarie and Wentworth. The importance of the Darling River for transport declined in the 1920s as new forms of transport emerged. Bourke has a special place in the Australian culture. The phrase back of Bourke, meaning the back of beyond, has become entrenched as an Australian colloquialism. Several poets helped enshrine the back of Bourke in Australian legend. If you know Bourke, you know Australia, wrote Henry Lawson, who lived there between 1892 and 1893. Other famous poets associated with Bourke include Harry Breaker Moran and Scottish balladeer and poet Will Ogilvy. The country in and around Bourke was cared for by the Ngambi people for tens of thousands of years before Europeans arrived and remains Aboriginal people. Gundabuka National Park is 50 kilometres south of Bourke and is significant for Ngumba and Pakenji people. The creeks in the range continue to provide water in times of drought.
The port of Bourke became the focus for the world's largest wool industry. At one time, up to 80 riverboats and barges serviced the area. By the 19th century, Bourke was a major inland port meeting the needs of an expanding farming population. Paddle steamers regularly plied the Darling River. The last commercial service ceased in 1931. Oh, well, listeners, there's only one thing for me to do now, and that's to play you a song.
And the song that immediately comes to mind, listeners, is Tanya Kernaghan's Where the Murray Meets the Darling.
Where lies a sleepy border town. The grapevines were in season, laid into the ground. On the gate a rusty sign, pickers apply within. From the cool of her veranda, she watched him wander in. All through the harvest season, in the long hot afternoons, they gathered grapes together, their love began to bloom. And somehow he had touched her, and like the clinging of the vines, their lives became entangled, their hearts became entwined.
Fantastic song by Tanya Kernaghan, listeners, where the Murray meets the Darling. Oh, welcome back, listeners. Phil C here, and we are Roman Oz, and we are Urengarry Campground, and I'm with Beth and Charlie, and they're going to tell us all about their Option RV 19-foot caravan. How are you both, guys?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Thank you so much for taking some time. We're sitting here having a wine, having a beer, and really loving your RV option, or
as
your
you do.
Options RV. What an incredible van. How long have you had it, guys?
Probably about 2.5 years now.
Okay.
And, found it just a fantastic vehicle. But it's a semi-off-road, as they say in the name called Distinction.
Yes.
But we just love it. Some of the features on the inside that Beth could tell you more so about. I look after the outside of the vehicle.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's how it is with men and women.
It is.
Men outside, women in.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, Beth, what about if you tell us, because I understand that this is pretty new to you, the RV life. You're a five-star girl who did a lot of overseas travelling. Never camped before in your life, and you chose a Distinction Option RV van. So what are the features of this particular van? What attracted you to this van?
Well, normally people would be attracted to the pantry and the bathroom and the sitting room and the TV.
Right.
Not me. It had to have a wardrobe.
Okay.
And it does. It have hanging space, and so I don't have to iron my clothes every day. And being a five-star girl,
right,
I can't walk out without my beautifully ironed linen top.
Okay.
So that was one feature. The next feature is, where do I put my iron?
Right.
I had to find a hidey hole for my iron.
Okay.
Which I did.
Right.
And then I found all the other spots.
Because you've got quite a bit of cover space in there, wouldn't you agree?
We do, we do. We've got a spot for games, a spot for tablets and medication, and a spot for my filing.
That we need, we're getting old.
We've got a fantastic pull-out pantry, which is about, in old terms, about a foot wide.
Right.
With about six shelves. Brilliant. Brilliant. I don't have to look for things. They're all there in front of me.
Okay. And if you decide not to cook and you don't need that pantry, you could hang your dress up in there, couldn't you? Because it's that...
If I could find a space.
Okay. Well, being a five-star girl, you've got to make sure you look fantastic, and you do. So the thing that sold you was the wardrobe and somewhere to put the iron, really?
Well, a few other things.
A few other things.
But I've since, on this trip, I've found places which I didn't know above the wheel in the cupboard. So if you get down on your hands and knees, which I didn't often do, I found a space above the wheel I could put things in. I can store stuff in there too.
Yeah. So there's lots of storage inside the van.
Absolutely.
Now what about for you, Charlie? Because you're not a large man, but you're quite tall. I mean, how do you find the shower in there? Because one of the things with my van, I never find there's enough room in there to shower and get cleaned up.
And there's enough room in there to get yourself dried. I step outside, I dry my feet, and I'm done.
There's enough room for two of us.
Really?
Well, yeah, there would be enough room in the shower for two of us.
It's a big shower then. So
it is.
Yeah. And, of course, the bathroom could be a fraction bigger.
Right.
But then again, of course, you go to that, you're looking at something like a 21.5 foot, whereas this is only a 19.
19, yeah.
And it's big enough, but when you go too big, then you're looking at problems when getting in the caravan parks because they squeeze them in tight.
Yes, they do, yeah.
So, but I love the straight through chassis on this vehicle, the strength of it, and we've been over some rough terrain here and there, but it handles it very well. Yeah, okay. No problems at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So it tells, well, you've got a BT50, a Mazda BT50, and you haven't done a lot of towing. Have you done towing before, Charlie? Have you towed boats or trailers or something?
Trailers and boats and and it's fine.
And heavy vehicles you've driven?
Yeah, heavy vehicles and trucks and that sort of thing.
Okay. But
I just love it. It's our first van. I thought was a good choice. Our mate's telling me not to go any bigger.
Right.
Because you're into that problem again with the space within caravan parks. You really do. It's just
so you're limited.
You're limited.
You feel limited. So you chose a 19 foot for that reason because you think not going to have an issue getting into anywhere.
Yeah, because you've got to allow for the vehicle as well. So
of course
you want something that's going to pull 3.5 ton.
Mm-hmm.
And We changed a few things around, like shifting all our blocks of timber and that from the front to the back and all that sort of thing.
Okay.
To get the ball weight down.
Yes.
But and we've worked that out, so it's we have that running perfect, and a level van sitting with your vehicle, it just runs smoothly.
Fantastic.
No problems on the road. It the springs in this one has been adjusted a little, so it I think it gives it a better ride.
Okay. Because it does look a little bit taller, so the person, because you bought this second hand, didn't you?
Bought it second hand, and the person that had it before me did a bit of work on the springs down under, and it does sit higher because I looked at other people with options, and apparently this one sits slightly higher.
Okay.
But like I say, having a strong chassis on a vehicle is a real feature to me.
Is a must.
It's a must. Yeah.
So if you were going to get another option RV, do you think? Like we were talking about heating before.
Yeah.
You get another option RV?
I would do. I would. Yeah. I mean, this has also got, it's got twin batteries with solar panels. It's got all the lighting you'd ever need. It's got outside TV.
That's important.
Yeah, it is important. So I can sit outside and watch the footy and now that we've got two TVs.
Right.
That was only by mistake that I blew a fuse and ended up with another one.
Okay.
So I now have my own TV for outside, which is fantastic.
Yep. Yeah. So you can sit outside under this beautiful awning, because I understand this is a brand new awning. You lost the other one on a trip somewhere.
Yeah, that was just in a big storm, and these things do happen.
Yep.
But we We don't have a full annex on it. We're happy with our privacy screens, which you can go right round with, and that is sufficient for us. Yeah.
You know, as a comparatively new traveller.
Yes, because you're the five-star girl. You don't normally go. But this isn't really camping, is it? This is more like glamping.
This is glamping. But what intrigues me is we're driving along the highway. Right. I've never known this before. We're driving along the highway and Charlie can see an option caravan coming from Cooee. Yes. And you know, the finger goes up. How do you do?
Right.
And if an option caravan comes into the car park, oh, there's an option. Let's go and have a talk to that man.
Okay.
It's very important, this option caravanning.
Yes, it is. So are you on any of the forums? Are you on, like, Facebook option?
Yes. Yeah, I run with that. And, of course, later in the year, October, we'll be at the Opal Caravan Park in Lightning Ridge.
Okay.
Which will be a great event, no doubt.
Right.
I'm not sure. What's the exact date? I'm not sure.
Sometime in the beginning of October, we're going to be in Lightning Ridge.
In the Opal Caravan Park in Lightning Ridge.
There's over 100.
Over 100
option
caravans?
Options, really?
Quite a number of people.
So when is that again? Sorry, in Lightning Ridge?
The 13th of October or the 8th of October. He's even got his T-shirts and hat to go with it.
Yeah, okay.
Option, ready to roll.
So you're going to look like the leader of the pack. You've got your hat, your T-shirt, everything option RV.
If you're in something like that, you've got to be in boots and all. You can't be going half-hearted.
Fair enough.
I don't know why Lightning Ridge, committed. But there you go.
But you know what I think's going to happen? Because I've looked at the current distinction myself, and I was thinking of getting one. And it's a little bit larger than yours, but that extra foot adds so much to the van.
It will do. Yes.
You got this huge lounge in the back, and you've got this massive. No, you don't want a lounge in the back.
No, the lounge you don't need. You need a bigger area around the bed.
Yes. Well, the thing is, the new one has got they've got the toilet and the laundry and everything close to the bed, so you don't have to walk all the way. Those 19 feet in the middle of the night to go to the toilet, I mean, you don't have to do that. The new one, it's right there, ensuite.
That's it.
Which, being a five-star girl, you'd appreciate an ensuite right near the bed.
Mm-hmm.
And
colour is important too.
Which one?
Colour?
Yes, colour.
Options.
Industry, all the nail polishes and things like that, and the amount of colours and all the different companies and brands that she sells. So
okay.
She's looking at different colours. She wanted to paint this one on the inside.
White.
It has got a lot of white in it. It doesn't have
white and grey or white and black would be nice.
Well, look,
a lot of the new ones. So that's what a new van looks.
The new vans are, they're opting for those sort of colours, aren't they? Then that way they're more serviceable. You don't have to.
Shades of grey you want.
Nobody wants Mission Brown anymore.
Okay. Oh, goodness me. 50 Shades of Grey. All right. Look, I'm going to have to hang up on that note, folks, really seriously. It was so much fun talking to you, Beth and Charlie. You got a great sense of humour. You got a great van. And I wish you all the best when you get this options muster in Lightning Ridge. I'd love to be out there. You know what's going to happen? You're gonna have a look at the latest option RV, and you're going to go, you know what? We got to go with this new one. With a bigger lounge, more hanging space for the five-star girl, and all the bells and whistles.
And also the service option itself.
The service?
Yeah, owner and staff, that option itself was just incredible. And the follow-up that they give you is just, talking to other people who had options, that's just,
any problems, we can ring them.
Fantastic. All right, guys.
Thank you.
Let me wind this up now. Before I do, I'm going to play a favourite song. Do you have a favourite act or Australian act, singer, band?
Yeah, a bit of John Williams and
Old Man Emu.
Old Man Emu.
All righty. Will you stick around, listeners? We're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight
Thanks,
after.
Bill. Thank you
so much, Beth. And, of course, Charlie. Yes. Thank you so much for your time, guys. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. So stick around, listeners. We'll be back with more Roman Oz straight after Old Man Emu.
Let me tell you of an interview with an old man emu. He's got a beak and feathers and things, but the poor old fella ain't got no wings. Aren't you jealous of the wedge-tailed eagle? I'm about a little da-da-da. While the eagle's flying round and round to keep it 2 feet firmly on the ground. Now I can't fly, but I'm telling you, I can run the pants of a kangaroo. But I do. He can't fly, but I'm telling you, we can run the pants of a kangaroo.
sense. Umbadalitradada, the designer should have had more sense. Umbadalitradada, if you take a look, it'll prove to you I ran the pants of that kangaroo. But I do. Cockatoo, umbadalitradada, swoop and toss like an albatross, umbadalitradada. You silly galah, I'm better by far than a white cockatoo or a budgerigar. They squeak and squawk and try to talk. Why, me and them's like cheese and chalk. But I do. You can't fly, but I'm telling you, quicker on the pants of a kangaroo. Well, the last time I saw old man, he knew him, umbadalitradada. He was chasing a female, he knew him, umbadalitradada. As he shot past, I heard him say, she can't fly, but I'm telling you, she could run the pants of a kangaroo. But I do. She can't fly, but I'm telling you, she could run the pants of a kangaroo. Well, there is a moral to this ditty, umbadalitradada. Thrush can sing, but he ain't pretty, umbadalitradada. Duck can swim, but he can't sing, nor can the eagle on the wing. Mean you can't fly, but I'm telling you, he can run the pants of a kangaroo. Well, the kookaburra laughed and he said it's true, umbadalitradada.
Oh, well, there you go, listeners. Old Man Emu, made famous, of course, by John Williamson. 7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. We'll see here, this is Roman Oz, and I've got Ken Wilson from Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program on the program with us again today. How are you going today, Ken?
Terrific, Phil. Beautiful day.
Mate, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the program and getting lots of fabulous information from you and your website, which is great, and also your Facebook page for the benefit of the listeners. You do have a Facebook page. Do you want to just give that a little mention for anybody who's maybe not familiar with you on there?
Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program.
Yes.
You'll find there that all researched road safety information. There's no campsites, no cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It's all road safety information.
Fabulous.
It has probably around about 22,000 followers. There's a lot of people following it at the moment, which
absolutely
is great.
Brilliant stuff. All right, and the reason why they're following you, Ken, is because you do know a lot about road safety, and that's a big important thing. It's not like you said, we're not talking about cooking or any of that stuff, purely road safety. He's not a truck driver, okay? We want to point that right out from the get-go. Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program, so he's not an ex-truck driver. But we are going to be talking about a subject today, Ken, that was thought of by a truck driver. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Now, these are the green reflective stickers that some of our listeners may be seeing on posts out on the country roads. 3-2-1 stickers. Now, tell us all about this. Who came up with the idea first?
The 3-2-1 green reflectors, what they are, they're an indicator that there is an area that should be safe to pull off the road coming up.
Yes.
Now, first of all, I'll just explain what they are. You'll see on a guidepost in certain areas of Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria. There may be some in South Australia, but I'm not sure. You'll be driving along and you'll see a white guidepost with a red reflector on the top, and there'll be three green dots underneath it, reflective dots.
Yes. Yes.
250 metres down the road, you'll see another guidepost with only two dots on it.
Yes.
And then a further 250 metres down the road, you will see one with just one green dot.
Right.
Where that one with one green dot is,
yes,
immediately after that should be a reasonably safe area for you to pull over off the road.
Right.
Now these areas aren't they aren't maintained thoroughly. They may be an area where the roads authorities stored gravel or something like that at some stage, uh-huh, and they've just levelled it.
Yes.
They may have a little drop off from the bitumen, etc., and they're not always mown. There are some that are bitumen out near Charleville, on the road out towards Charleville, etc.
Yes.
And one between Bundaberg and Childers, for example, mm-hmm, it's bitumen. And you'll find that on our website. There's photographs of that particular one on our website, just to give you an idea on what they are.
Yes.
Now how they came about,
yes,
and their use was, Rod Hennifer is a B-double driver.
Uh-huh.
Now, Rod was driving one night and he was getting pretty tired. He's thinking, well, I probably shouldn't be driving. And by the time he found a place to pull over, he was going too fast and couldn't pull up in time with a B-double.
Yes.
So he came up with the idea. He said, well, what we need is a bit of an indicator as to that there's an area coming up where I can pull over so I can safely slow.
Yes.
So he came up with the idea of putting blue dots, etc., on these reflectors, on these guideposts, as an indicator. They were later changed to green dots because the blue ones interfered with the fire services indicators.
Okay.
So you may see a couple of maybe even up north that may be green blue dots, but all the new ones, etc., are green dots on the side.
Okay.
On the guideposts. Now, what they are is it just gives you enough time to slow the truck or the rig down so that you can pull off the road to check your load or have a quick poppy nap just to sort of refresh yourself,
mm-hmm,
and get back on the road. Now, they're not areas that you would stop for an overnight park.
No.
The reason being is they're right beside the road, so you're going to get traffic noise, etc.
Yes.
And they're not big enough to, set up camp at usually.
No.
Some of them are quite large.
Mm-hmm.
The Originally, Rod started getting the New South Wales Roads and Maritime to put these green dots, etc., out, and then the NHVR got involved, and they received some funding to enlarge the program a bit, and the NHVR also did a brochure on it.
Yes.
Now, so what the NHVR is basically the government regulator of the trucking industry, the heavy vehicles.
Yes.
So a lot of people think that they're only for trucks. The bottom line is that these 3-2-1 green reflectors, as they're referred to, are for any road user to use. There's no secrets in road safety.
Okay.
So if you come across them, you're entitled to use them.
Okay.
However, common sense has to prevail,
mm-hmm,
and the priority should be given to trucks. And if you do pull into one of them, pull right up to the end so that somebody else can sort of pull in behind you.
Okay.
Now, I was given the brochure on them by a Queensland Transport Safety Officer, and he recommended that I notify caravanners about,
yes,
these as well. Because the reason being is there's quite often, as we talked about earlier, there's a lot of caravans on the road who may not travel at the normal posted speed, and they can hold up traffic.
Exactly.
Not only caravans, but motorhomes and,
yes,
other cars and,
yes,
so on and so forth. So when you've got a big line of traffic behind you, it's a common courtesy to be able to pull over or assist them to get around.
Of course.
These reflectors will then let you know that there is an area coming up. So you can get on the UHF if you've got one, say, hey, I'm pulling over up here, and the traffic behind can then know that you're going to pull over in there so that they can get on their way.
Yes.
So the trick is, as soon as you see them, start indicating so that the vehicle behind will have a bit of an idea that you're pulling over, and they can you're not going to just slam on the brakes in front of them, so they can get around you nice and safely.
Okay.
So I don't know of any truck driver around who would object to the caravaner using them to allow the trucks to sort of get past them.
Yes.
On their way. It's just common sense and common courtesy. But,
The areas
aren't always maintained, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I was going to say, as a caravaner, or even now, I'm even bigger, I'm pulling a fifth wheeler, but in my days of caravanning and so on and so forth, you know, I only drive 85, 90 max, and sometimes not even as fast as that. And, you know, you do inevitably end up with a stream of traffic behind you in places. And I have used these 3-2-1 green reflectors for the very purpose of being able to pull off the road safely to allow trucks or traffic to go around me. So by seeing these stickers, I didn't know what they were at first. It was actually my wife who pointed them out and said, oh, there's those 3-2-1 stickers I've been telling you about. And of course, you've been posting them. So for anybody who wants to know a lot about the about road safety, they got to jump onto your Facebook page for sure, because a wealth of information, and not only just for the, as you said, not for trucks, but if you're traveling at 80 kilometres an hour, as a lot of people do with a caravan or a motorhome, 85, trucks are wanting to sit on 100, and you see these reflective green stickers on the posts. You can see three and then two, and you know, hey, I'm going to get a couple of hundred metres, I'm going to have another one to pull over. And it does give you the opportunity to slow down safely, indicate your intention, rather than just coming upon it like Rod did in his B double and not being able to pull over. Or you think, oh, I've got to get out of here, I've got a mile of traffic behind me, and then slamming on the brakes, which of course is the worst possible thing you can do with a big truck behind you. So
fabulous idea. It's so simple, and I don't know why more state governments don't adopt it. When I first posted this back in July, I think it was, you know, July 2019.
Right.
That post reached 1.2 million people.
Okay.
It was shared 9,200 times, which is, you know, pretty significant Facebook exposure.
Yes.
And we had people from New Zealand saying, oh, we should have this over here, and people from Western Australia. What a simple idea, you know. It really is.
Yes.
But what has happened as time has gone on, they're not always maintained. So when you have fires and floods and that sort of stuff, sometimes there might be one or two of the stickers missing and that type of thing. So we all need to sort of lobby the state government to, you know, pay more attention to this, you know, this great road safety initiative. And it's quite a cheap way of doing it. We're not putting in new rest areas or anything like that.
No.
It's just using existing areas on the side of the road that, you know, are there anyway.
Yes.
Some of the areas aren't maintained, so there may be a little drop-off off the bitumen. The grass may be a little bit longer, et cetera, but usually the ground underneath is secure.
Yep.
And hopefully, you know, apart from the rare occasion, you shouldn't get bogged or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're usually long enough to be able to pull up a B-double in, so the average caravaner shouldn't have any drama at all.
Okay.
In getting there.
So they were originally thought of by Rod Hannafay, who's you said is drives B doubles. So he came up with the idea. Was that primarily for other trucks, so that they could have an area and know what's coming up in advance to pull over and check their load or whatever? It was originally that was the original thought of it.
I believe so.
Yes.
Rod. A road safety advocate on the trucking side, and he's president of the Road Freighters Association, and been on a few government committees and helped design truck rest areas and that type of thing. So Rod does a fantastic job and is a damn nice guy.
Yes.
He's always sort of looking at different ways of doing things and just improving safety. And this is a quite simple one.
Absolutely.
But the areas where they are, the roads, et cetera, are a state responsibility. So I've contacted, and I've got it in writing from the Queensland Department of Transport, and also spoken to New South Wales Roads and Maritime, and they both agree that these areas are for all road users.
Yes.
They're not specific to any particular ones, so there's no secrets about it. It's just that they had been promoted a bit through the trucking community for obvious reasons, so that they've got somewhere where they can pull over if they're tired or whatever, or to check their load.
Okay. And
like all caravanners, you know, we should pull over from time to time to A, let people pass, and also to check our load and, you know, do a walk around of our rig just to make sure that the handbrake hasn't come on or anything stupid or tyres are going flat, etc.
Mm-hmm. There's a million things that we should check that a lot of people don't check until there's a problem.
That's
and,
right, yeah.
Or
yeah.
they haven't had an opportunity to pull over and check. So be aware, listeners, for these 3-2-1 green reflective stickers, because they're there for your use. They're also there so you can pull over safely and allow faster vehicles to get around you. Fantastic idea.
They are. And there's a lot of people who said, oh, I've never noticed them. Well, yeah, you'll probably find that you've driven past quite a few of them and have not actually noticed them or not even realised what they are. But if you know they're there and you're starting to think, geez, I really should start pulling over, you can keep an eye out for them.
Absolutely.
They're not everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's a lot out in Western Queensland, et cetera, where you get the you know, triple road trains, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
Some up near Charters Towers, the main highways in New South Wales often have them, and some in Victoria and that as well. Burnett Highway has quite a few. Out near Mundubba and that sort of area.
Mm-hmm.
You won't see too many probably on the Bruce Highway as such, but also around Mackay and that there's quite a few as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they were affected by fires and floods, etc. a while ago, so some of them are in a little bit of disrepair. So, but if you're in government and you're listening to this, please support this very simple road safety initiative and, you know, spend a bit of money to have people going out there and just reinstating the guideposts, the stickers, etc.
I think it's a fabulous idea, Ken, really. And if there's any way that they can organise doing this, it shouldn't be just a few states, like you said, Queensland, New South Wales. I'm in Tasmania at the moment. The roads are very narrow, they're windy. There isn't any in Tasmania, and I think if anybody should have them, it should be a state like Tasmania. There's a lot of trucks that are using these roads, and I myself, the only way I'm able to communicate with them is via our UHF radio and say, hey, there's an area here where I'm about to pull over. But if there were stickers, like the reflective, the green 1-3-2-1 reflective stickers, well, that would certainly make life easier, because you don't know the road. You don't really know something's coming up until either A, you've passed it, or if you're going slow enough, you can actually pull in. So this is a really good idea that should be adopted in every state, I believe.
I support that as well. Quite often the truck drivers do the same trips on a regular basis. So often they get to know the road, but tourists and that don't.
That's correct.
As you say, down in New South Wales, it's all pretty hilly and up and downy, et cetera. And last time I was down there, I think the recommended speed for one corner went round was 15 kilometres an hour.
Okay.
So you know, you're not going to be able to overtake people in country like that. So,
no.
If there's an area where you can pull over and you've got a few cars or trucks or whatever behind you, you know, please use it. Just show common courtesy to other drivers.
Absolutely. And if you are now listening to this, and I know there's a lot of people listening that may not be aware, those green 3-2-1 stickers clearly marked are for you to use as well, to be able to move over safely, let the big rigs go by, let the faster cars go by. And if you've been wondering what they are, that's what they're for. Mate, thank you so much for taking the time again today, Ken.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Mate, you know now this is your fourth chat with us. We're going to wind it up with an Aussie song. Have you got one for me?
Oh, mate, there's not been more Aussie than Lee Kernaghan, I don't think.
No, that's very true.
And Backroad Nation, when he was launching this album, I met him in here in Bundaberg, and he did a nice video for us, which you'll find on our website, I think it is.
On your website? On Truck Friendly?
I was on... It's on our Facebook page. I'm trying to think whether it's still on the website.
Okay.
He is a big supporter of caravan road safety, because on his very first tour, he was involved in a caravan rollover.
Oh, wow.
Going down a hill with a fully loaded car and badly loaded caravan, and got the sways up and it rolled. So, he knows firsthand some of the problems of caravanning. So, he's not just a singer. He's a true Australian icon that, you know, has got a lot of experience under his belt as well with Australian outback and farming and so on and so forth. So okay. Top bloke.
Fantastic. All right, Ken. Well, we'll wind up with that one. Thank you so much for your time today, Ken.
You all stay safe. Cheers.
There you go, listeners. That is Ken Wilson, Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program. And we're going to be back with more Roman Oz straight out to Lee Kernaghan's Back Road Nation.
It's road train dust on a blue track. It's cane fields getting lit. And it's combine lights before the dawn. It's a new LaRue sunset. It's 40,000 years of dreaming. The hot land keeps on beating. That's us flying down an old dirt road. That's us driving through of gold, getting high on a country station, rolling through this back road nation. And that's us, and I got you next to me. Right here is where I wanna be. We got a good vibration, living in this back road nation. Salt bush sea, it's pink galahs in flight. It's out of town, it's a tailgate down. It's a campfire in the night. A way of life, it's the life we're living. As long as this big world keeps spinning. That's us, flying down an old dirt road. That's us, driving through fields of gold. Getting high country station, rolling through this back road nation. And that's us, and I got you next to me. Right here is where I wanna be. We got a good vibration, living in this back road nation. Towns and ancient ground, a road that never ends. It's the homeland song that when you're gone calls you home again. And that's us flying down an old dirt road and driving through fields of gold. Getting high on a country station, rolling through this back road nation. To me, right here is where I wanna be. We got a good vibration, living in this back road nation.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.